When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Two quick questions. First, on vaccines, do you want RFK Jr. to revoke any vaccines?
No, I want him to come back with a report as to what he thinks. We're going to find out a lot. We're doing two things. We're going to have tremendous cost savings will come out of this. That's a minimum. And we're also going to have, and I think, very serious discussions about certain things, whether it's pesticides. Europe doesn't use pesticides, and yet they have a better mortality rate than we do. They don't use pesticides. In fact, they use it as an excuse not to take our farm product. We spend billions and billions of dollars on pesticides. And something bad's happening. Again, you take a look at autism today versus 20, 25 years ago. It's like not even believable.
I'm interested in the way the press is always asking President Trump, are you wanting to RFK Jr. to eliminate this vaccine or that vaccine? That's not really the way it works. It all goes through the president. And if RFK, they should be asking Donald Trump if he wants these things to be eliminated, because these people serve at the pleasure of the president. And how many times does Donald Trump need to say, I would like the research to be done, the questions to be asked, to get to the bottom of some of these major questions we have. The one that really reached a bipartisan level of interest in the campaign was RFK Jr.'s conversations about chronic disease and the way Big Pharma might be lending into that. And then the press is in automatic freak out mode all of the time. Like, does this mean you're going to ban the polio vaccine? How many times has Donald Trump said, I'm not going to ban the polio vaccine? And then he says something every single time, like, I'm very fond of that one, or something to that extent. And then he says, I've seen it. Over and over and over again. But then I just don't understand it. How, if you were a reporter and you were in front of the president-elect of the United States of America, that's the question that you would repeatedly ask. That you would consistently ask something that Trump has repeatedly, as the president-elect, the candidate on the campaign trail, he's not said that he's going to eliminate any vaccines. Why in the world would we not want to know, here in 2024, with the science that is available to us, that every vaccine that we are taking is safe and necessary? Why wouldn't we want to do the research into that? Why wouldn't we want to look into that? And it's always ironic to me. The left is always like, every other civilized country. And then they start talking about things that America does differently. in many cases, I'm happy that America does those things differently. But this is one of those instances where, you know, all of these different kinds of dyes that are in our food, all of these different additives that get put, chemicals that get put into things we feed our kids all of the time, they don't get to do that in Europe. They have two formulas. They don't even have to, like, manifest a new way to make a Fruit Loop. You just have to use the one that you give to the European kids. Just do that here, too. But I guess it's cheaper to manufacture American Fruit Loops. They should be red, white, and blue. Only those are the only colors that Fruit Loops should come in
eat. It should be a real thumb in the eye to France.
Are they red, white, blue, or blue, white, red? They're red, white, blue.
I'm not really sure.
Well, don't bring this
red,
up.
White,
don't
red,
start
white, blue.
What you
Listen,
can't finish here, sir.
They didn't even have a revolution until we had ours. They copied everything from us.
My point exactly.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from here. This is talking about Fruit Loops.
Well, the point
out of hand
about the press, though, is that they'll approach Donald Trump or RFK with questions like, which are you planning on bringing back first, measles or polio? And they're like, these are terrible, dishonest questions that you're asking.
Well, here's a question that was asked directly of RFK Jr. about the polio vaccine.
Do you mind repeating what you said previously about the polio vaccine?
Do you support it? Yeah, I support it.
I don't feel like that's the most confident response. He's like, yeah, I support it. If you hadn't seen it on video, you'd be like, was that spliced together?
Yeah.
Yeah, I support it. It's the AI overlords. The question on YouTube today, our poll for today, is should President-elect Trump get his whole cabinet confirmed? The whole thing. Or do you feel like there's anybody who you're looking at and you're like, I do not want that person to get in? This, to me, is a question that at least my answer has shifted quite significantly from when nominations were first being made, midstream to where we are right now. I feel like Donald Trump's cabinet picks, while there's usually, you know, a few that don't get through. And we've even heard pundits talk about how you got to put some crazy ones out there so that the people who want to not confirm, so it can make it look, this is what drives me crazy, like this is just stupid, but I've heard enough people say this that I believe it to be a thing, that you don't want to make it look like, oh, we're just giving him carte blanche, whatever he wants. I'm looking at the New York Times tracker, which is what I've been watching throughout the course of the nominations. Senate confirmation required. The only thing not nominated yet is CEA. And I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
I'm trying to click on it and it's not telling me. But every other position that has to have a confirmation has been nominated. Some names like Marco Rubio for the Secretary of State, Pam Bondi, Attorney General, Pete Hegseth, Defense Secretary, Kristi Noem, Homeland Security, Lori Chavez, I think it's Duremer, but I'm not a positive about it, Labor Secretary. That was one that when we had Steve Moore on the show with us a couple weeks ago, he was like, oh, I don't know about that one. He's an economy guy. You know, CIA, John Ratcliffe, DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, Dr. Oz. He's the one that I'm like...
I know.
But I mean, if you put in, like, I just know him from TV. A lot of people felt the same way about the current president-elect. So, I don't know. Does he have expertise here that he can lend? I don't know. That's on the Senate to find out. Lee Zeldin on the EPA, Elise Stefanik, United Nations, RFK Jr., Health, Doug Burgum, shout out from the, what'd you call yourself? Burgides?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't act like you don't know.
I forgot.
Don't act like you're in charge of the fan club.
Yeah, it was the Burgumites.
Naturally. Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins. Scott Bessent for Treasury. Brooke Rollins, Agriculture. Howard Lutnick, Commerce. Sean Duffy for Transportation, which just makes me laugh every time. I don't even know why. Martin McCary, Dr. McCary. The FDA. Chris Wright, Energy. Linda McMahon, Education, Whitaker, NATO, Housing, Scott Turner. You get into some of these names. The Neshwat Surgeon General, that was one that I think some people had some questions over. Ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Pete Hoekstra, Ambassador to Canada. Gee whiz. I'm just looking through all of these. Cash Patel, FBI, that's one that I think a lot of people had questions on. But I don't think that anyone's going to be bold enough to say no. I haven't heard anyone suggest good non-freakout reasons for not confirming Kash Patel. But you've got all these names here. Are any of these obvious heck no's for you? And have you, I'd like to know this in the comments, have you kind of moved a little bit away from, oh, I don't know about that one and I don't know about that one? The quicker that they get in here and confirm these people, the quicker Donald Trump gets down to business.
Exactly. CEA, by the way, is Council of Economic Advisors. It's a economic advisory position.
Hmm.
So there you go. It's the only one, apparently, that's not filled.
Do you feel like there's anyone in here that really frightens you or that shouldn't get confirmed? I think I'm a yes on this one. There's nobody in here who has any sort of character, moral, conflicts of interest or any sort of, you know, like, it doesn't matter if you can think of people who are more qualified because you don't get to pick. So Donald Trump gets to pick. So it's more to me about proving, if you were to vote against it, you'd have to prove that they are not qualified to do the job, not that they are the most qualified to do the job.
Yeah, I'm a pretty solid yes on this poll as well. The only one that stands out from reading that list that I would say I would like to see that person not in that position is Elise Stefanik, and that is only because I'd like to see her continue in the House. She does a good job in the
just
House.
Just to not roll the dice on her not retaining that seat.
And they always say that that seat's going to be pretty safe, but I'd rather not worry about it. And there are lots of people who can do that job. Is it the UN Council position? I don't think that she's uniquely qualified to do that. I'd love to see somebody else do it.
Wasn't Billy Long, the Missouri representative, who did the auctioning on the House floor?
Yeah.
Yes. He's, you know, he has not been nominated to be, is it, it just says IRS. Is he the secretary of the IRS? What is he?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was reading up on this. I don't remember the title, but I was shocked
it's,
to hear.
I can tell you. I just clicked on it and it gave me more information. Internal Revenue Service Commissioner.
That's great.
He was Missouri's 7th District Representative from 2011 to 2023.
And he was in the primary for, I think, Senate, running against, was it Eric Schmidt? And this was a couple years ago.
Yeah, he was one of those.
Yeah, and he was way down on the list, but still made a name for himself.
But he's a hometown boy, and he has had a really good relationship with Donald Trump for a long time. He's from, I think, the Springfield area, so southwest Missouri. But
7th District.
A lot of people in this area actually know him, you know, fairly well, and they speak very highly of him.
Well, I'm watching different conversations coming out of the Senate as a lot of these different nominees are making their ways and doing the circuit in the Senate. And I haven't seen any news from coming out of any Republican senator that's like, absolutely not. I will not confirm Kash Patel for the FBI. Or Jim O'Neill for the health deputy.
Mm, yeah, Jim O'Neill.
Jim. Mm. He's kind of got a funny picture on here.
Does
he? His headshot's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm voting against him.
Have you heard any of that come out where people are like, no, I'm a no? Especially Republicans. I've heard Democrats come out and say that they are voting in support of particular candidates. Certainly, John Fetterman has made multiple comments about being in support for various members, some of the higher profile nominees. But, you know, we don't need Dick Durbin's approval on any of this stuff. That's the beauty of it.
No, not at all. In fact, I the only things that I've seen are kind of, hedging their bets. So there'll be senators that come out and say, well, I'm still talking to Pete Hegseth, for instance, who's doing the rounds right now. He's actually looking a lot better than he did just because he's going out and courting that vote. So I don't really see anybody right now who's going to face, other than maybe Pete Hegseth still, but he would be the one that he's doing all the right things right now to get himself across the finish line. And if he's the most controversial one on the whole list, I don't see anybody else that's really going to fail here.
Lloyd Austin, Biden's nominee to be the defense secretary. Two senators voted against Lloyd Austin. Lloyd Austin went and had surgery and was literally unconscious for a period of time and nobody knew it. Senator Mike Lee, Senator Josh Hawley, the only two to vote against him. Lloyd Austin, Pete Hegseth, there's such a dramatic departure between the two in an unsavory way that you would vote against him? I just don't get it. I don't get it. We're going to talk when we come back with Ryan Schmelz, our friend, Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. He's going to talk to us about what he has seen and heard there covering these senatorial circuits that these nominees are going on. How does he feel about the way that this is heading? Does he feel like there's any one particular nominee who might have a little more trouble getting confirmed than others? Ryan Schmelz will tell us when we come back. In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to speak with Jim Carafano about foreign policy and what we've seen. I'm going to ask him about the drones, too. I'm going to just gauge Jim Carafano. He's either going to completely poo-poo the drone thing, or he's going to say it's an epic disaster. Ooh. And it will weigh heavily on my opinion on
me too.
Concern. I'm leaning towards him going, eh, about the drones, which things are totally government contracts. That's just all pontification on my part. And Jeff Thompson, who is the CEO of Red Cat Holdings, is a drone company. He's going to be with us at 125 to tell us, like, what kind of drone stuff is out there? What's going on? What do we need to know? What are you not going to tell us? Tell us here right now on the Andy Fry Show. Ryan Schmelz next. Don't go away.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I would repeat what we've said yesterday and last night in a multiple agency statement, that we have taken a serious look at this. We have gone through 5,000 some odd sightings. We have added detection capabilities to the region. We've even sent up visual observers. And everything we're seeing to date, our assessment tells us that these are commercial drones, hobbyist drones, or law enforcement drones, all operating legally and lawfully.
Well, John Kirby continues to say nothing to see here at all. He doesn't seem to be thinking that there is anything that the American public should be worried about. I would feel more comfortable with that being the explanation if the second that people were talking about it and pointing out the drones, they'd be like, oh, we've looked into this. There's nothing here to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and the other funny thing about that statement is, again, these are all legal. It's all hobbyist drones. It's other people. It's law enforcement, and all the other things too. He just sneaks in that they are law enforcement. Like, well, they could be anything.
Yeah, like the things that we suspect that they could be doing in the midst of our own privacy, potentially being breached. Who knows if there's justification that has been made on some, you know, Patriot Act level kind of weirdness that. You just saying that you're okay with them in the government doesn't necessarily make me go...
I have a question. Can you shoot these things down? So no. Is that allowed?
Let me answer that. A man who got a gun, no. But go ahead, Sergeant.
Yeah, legally, no. They're treated the same as shooting down an aircraft, which would carry
even a small one like this.
Even a small one, even your own.
Scott Jennings is asking Joel Anderson, who is a drone expert, can you shoot these things down? Like, if that's the conversation that's taking place right now surrounding these drones, don't you think that the American people want a little more details? I mean, literally talking about taking matters into our own hands on these drones because they are making people uncomfortable. If I got to say, everywhere I go right now, I'm looking up at night and I'm like, is that a drone? And I'm like, it's clearly Southwest Airlines. I can see the blue, the red, and the yellow. That's a Southwest plane.
I also like that clearly there's something going on specific to the New Jersey area, and everybody's going, this is really weird. And the only statements we're given are, no, it's not.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's not. Just trust us. No, it's
not.
Yeah,
this is normal.
A lot of different people on Capitol Hill are responding to these drones, certainly, and there's a lot going on there as well to discuss. So we are continuing to watch and see what's taking place here.
You know what's weird is the statement is I know that you and everybody watching this is not used to seeing this, but you know what's weird? It's you. You're weird, not us. We're the ones that are monitoring the situation closely, and we see this stuff all the time. You're weird for even thinking it's weird.
Have you looked into the sky and looked for a drone?
A little bit.
Yes, we all have. What are you going to do if you see one?
Well, I'm going to. I've been told not to fire at it. So
what are you
going to
fire with your steak knives?
No, not with my steak knives. I'm going to start with my fireworks and not fire them. Leftover.
Okay.
Usually it's just the little snakes.
Can you
so
aim
they wouldn't
those that
hit
well?
Them anyway. No, you know, we're talking about ground spouts and stuff. That's not going to get that high. So I've already ruled that out. I don't know what I would do if I actually saw one, though. It would have to be big. Because if I just saw a
see
drone.
See what you said, do when you saw the raccoon and you said, raccoon! This time you'd look at the drone and go,
drone!
Drone.
Or raccoon, because I'm still seeking it out and it's on my mind.
I don't think that we have sufficiently talked about the fact that somebody brought you a trap to the Ruler Foods food drive.
Yes, they did. The trap is outside right now. And thank you to Marty for bringing that trap. I have to figure out how to actually use that thing because the problem is right now, I think I tripped the trap in the car and I have to reset the trap to figure out how to use the trap.
You don't know how to use the trap?
In less words than I just used, correct. I don't know how to use the raccoon trap, but I'm figuring it out. We just went through this whole process of getting our yard cleaned out and like moving stuff away from that sewer. So now the raccoon's got a free shot at it, but I got to get it to where we get, you know, the trap is usable by more than just sitting there. Because right now it's just sitting there hoping the raccoon goes in it on its own.
I wonder if they have these same problems in Congress.
With the raccoon trap?
It kind of feels like that. There's like a raccoon, you got to trap it, and you got to take care of it, you got to find it, you got to secure it, you got to get rid of it.
I don't know. I'm not putting, here's the, it's like right now, throwing a fishing hook into the water with no worm on it.
Like, seeing what you
you're just
get.
Hoping a fish sees it and goes, yeah, might as well bite that for no reason. There's nothing in the trap. I don't know that it is actually going to work without me putting a hard-boiled egg in it.
The YouTube live chat poll for today, should President-elect Trump get his whole cabinet confirmed, yes or no? I'm very excited to hear what's going on Capitol Hill, and Ryan Schmelz is here to help guide us through what he is hearing. He's a Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. You can follow him on X at Ryan Schmelz Fox. Ryan, welcome back to the show. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, always great to be on, Annie. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you for being here today. Merry Christmas to you and to your family. What are you finding out? What are you hearing right now? Are there any of the particular nominees from Donald Trump that you think are going to have maybe a tough time actually getting through?
Well, I think the obvious subjects, you've got Robert Kennedy Jr., who's going to face a lot of questions, not just from Democrats, but also Republicans about, you know, his past stances on vaccines. But also keep in mind, you know, his past stances that have aligned with the Democrat Party more so than the Republican Party pretty much his entire life up until maybe this past election cycle. So he's going to probably face a lot of questions on that, too. And then, you know, stances like on abortion and those different areas, all that's kind of on the table when we talk about Robert Kennedy Jr. Jr. So he's certainly one out there. And then, you know, keep it with the Democrats. You have Tulsi Gabbard, who was somebody who was a progressive Democrat not too long ago, actually endorsed Bernie Sanders for president in 2016. So does she have a lot of stances that could be bothersome to Republicans? I think that's a possibility, too. And she's made some statements in the past. And timing doesn't work out for her here because, you know, we're talking about the fall of the Assad regime around the time when she starts her Hill visits. And she's somebody who has made statements in the past that some believe are sympathetic towards Assad. So I think a lot of those issues are going to come up for these two that could maybe be an issue for them.
We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Ryan, I think that a lot of people are squarely focused on what the Republican senators are going to do. Of course, if the Republican senators, not even all of them, but the vast majority, 50 of them, end up saying thumbs up to the nominee, they're going to get through. But I'm curious if you hear any, you know, particular Marco Rubio is one that I'm kind of curious about how strong the support could be in this confirmation. Are there Democrats who are going to vote in a bipartisan way to confirm some of these nominees?
It looks like there will be a couple. You know, John Fetterman's already come out and said that he's a hard yes on supporting Marco Rubio. Some others have said some very nice things about it. Even Leader Schumer has been very complimentary of Marco Rubio. So someone like Rubio could probably see some pretty overwhelming bipartisan votes on the floor when they get to that point. I think there's some others who could see some bipartisanship. Lori Chavez de Remer, the pick for labor secretary, could see some Republicans back her. She could also see some Republicans maybe deflect from her because she's done some made some very pro-union votes during her time in the House that could be concerning for Republicans who come from right-to-work states. I believe Missouri could be one of them. And then you also have some others like, I wouldn't rule out some Democrats possibly voting for Tulsi Gabbard or RFK just because Bernie Sanders has said some nice things about him. So has Cory Booker. And their justification is that they think he's picking the right fight by going after big food. So for every Republican who may stray away from RFK or fall off, you know, there could be a Democrat out there who comes and backs either him or Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting part of this confirmation process. Each of the senators gets to have their own thoughts and their own say in this matter. And when we go through the confirmations, we'll be able to see how much bipartisan support is for any of these confirmation opportunities. Ryan Schmelz with us right now, Fox News Radio. Do you can you kind of tell us how that confirmation process is going to run out for the American people to consume? So January 20th, 34 days from today, inauguration day, none of this stuff starts happening, my understanding is, until the president is inaugurated, or can it happen when the Senate is installed?
Well, I believe they can start the hearings as soon as the new Congress gets sworn in. So I believe sometime after January 6th, they could start the hearing process. And I think the idea is that in some cases, you could see that if they have completed the hearings, they know a certain nominee has the votes, they could start confirming some of these nominees as soon as, the president's inaugurated. So I wouldn't even rule out the idea of Republicans doing confirmation votes on inauguration day so they can hit the ground running. And they really are going to have to, because if, in fact, this government funding package that we're looking at right now extends government funding into around early March, then they're going to have to come up with a budget package almost immediately. And doing that on top of confirmations, it's going to be a pretty strenuous schedule. So getting those nominees confirmed as soon as possible is probably going to be more important than in previous Congresses.
Ryan, is that a continuing resolution that you're talking about right now? I think a lot of people have concern about what kind of budget is going to be passed with the current Congress. What is the deal with that right now?
Hey, can you say that one more time, Annie?
The CR, is it a CR that they're talking about passing right now that you said would get them through to the spending until March? Is that what they're discussing right now?
It looks like this CR is going to get a lot of blowback. We've already heard a number of Republicans who've been frustrated just with the process of how this has been rolled out. You know, I believe dumpster fire was a word used by Missouri Congressman Eric Burleson earlier today. You've seen those like Chip Roy call it the swamp being the swamp. And so I think there's a lot of frustration with how this got rolled out. And I think there's been a lot of pushback on a lack of what they call member input with the CR process. So there's going to be a lot of frustrated Republicans when the CR comes out. I don't think that's a matter of if, it's a matter of when at this point. But we still haven't seen the bill text. We still don't know how much disaster aid is going to be in there. But, when you have an idea like DOGE that's being proposed for the next Congress, and Republicans claiming that this is going to be a return to fiscal sanity, as they put it. You know, this isn't exactly sending the right message. At least that's according to some Republicans out there.
Ryan, I want to ask you about DOGE before we let you go. We're speaking with Ryan Schmelz, a Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. I understand Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk have made a lot of time to be on Capitol Hill or to discuss with the actual members who are going to have to enforce the spending limits or cuts or whatever it is that they come up with. How do you judge the reception that Capitol Hill has had so far for Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and the task that is ahead of them?
I think there's a lot of optimism, but I think there's also a lot of skepticism here. You know, Chip Roy, who we just mentioned, somebody who is going to be very frustrated with how this Republican conference has spent money this Congress. You know, he said that he just has this concern that the political will might not be there for Republicans to actually get the spending cuts that they want. But there's signs of optimism. You know, there's been bills already introduced by James Lankford and Joni Ernst that kind of give you an idea how they're going to find this waste and how they're going to cut it. Some of the stuff they already know. You know, Joni Ernst put out an entire a report on telework and in the lack of government employees who are actually going into their offices or going into their headquarters. That's one area they think that they can address relatively quick, and they might not even need Congress to do it. They could probably just do that through Donald Trump and his cabinet. So I think there's optimism. There's also skepticism. And, you know, there are some Democrats who've expressed their interest in working with DOGE, and including at least three, I believe, so far. So if that number continues to grow, I think that's a good sign for Republicans who are trying to use DOGE as a way to cut spending.
Do you feel like, just a follow up on a couple comments that you've made, do you feel like those Republicans who are going to be very frustrated with that potential CR, disagreements they may have on where spending should be cut, is Speaker Mike Johnson still 100% going to be the speaker this next time around? Is there going to be any question over that?
What we're hearing right now, there are still a couple Republicans, or there is a growing number potentially that may protest Speaker Johnson when we get to January and we have a speaker's election. We don't know what that protest will look like, how many votes he's going to lose. But this is a situation that Johnson was trying to avoid. And I think Republicans are trying to avoid it, too. I think the goal has always been that they want to govern this next Congress, and they want to get President Trump's agenda passed as quickly and as fairly as possible. But with a slim majority, too, they can't really afford to lose anybody on anything. But if they're in a situation where Republicans are protesting, you know, they could eventually get through it. They did it with McCarthy. And it depends. Is this going to be a situation where they protest on the first round just to show that they're angry, and then they get on board with the second round, and eventually Johnson gets elected speaker? We don't know what that's going to look like. We just know that there's at least a couple as of right now who are not committed to supporting Johnson fully in January. And that could be a major concern.
Is there, if he were to become the speaker in the initial vote, there's a much higher threshold to vacate the chair now, though, with the new rules, correct? The new threshold, is there a change in one vote to vacate that chair? Did we lose him?
Hey, Andy, can you say that one more time?
Is there going to be a difference in once the speaker is sworn in, a threshold to vacate the chair from where it was previously one vote in Matt Gaetz? Are the rules changing for this next Congress?
Right. So there was actually a negotiation done by the moderate leaning Main Street Caucus, as well as the Freedom Caucus, where they would raise the threshold. I believe the number is now 8 members as opposed to 1. So you need 8 members to come forward, issue the notice that they want to vacate the chair, and then you'd have to vote on the motion to vacate after that. So compared to what we're looking at this Congress, where it's still just one member, and we've seen it happen twice, where Matt Gaetz shut down Congress until they had the vote on the speaker. Marjorie Taylor Greene tried to do it briefly, but they tabled the motion relatively quick. That's going to be a little bit different next Congress if they go through with this rules package. Right now, they've just negotiated it, and they've got it kind of out there. The conference would still need a vote on it, but it looks like it's en route to passing.
Ryan Schmelz, thank you for the time today. We appreciate you, and there's going to be so much to talk about here coming up in the future. So don't be a stranger. We'd love to have you back soon.
Thank you, Annie. Have a great day.
Yep, you as well. Thank you so much. Ryan Schmelz is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent, and we're grateful to have him here with us today. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, when we come back, tease it. What do you got?
Christmas Eve is a week from today.
Mm-hmm.
This is all the ways to handle last-minute shopping, especially if you haven't done any.
All right. That'll be on Wiggins America. When we come back, vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Should President-elect Trump get his whole cabinet confirmed? Yes or no? Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come say hi. Leave a comment. We'll be right back.
Wiggins!
Well, first of all, I want to outline and or highlight a couple of great comments from our stream here. One of them is from Captain Planet. I'm guessing Wiggins hasn't gone Christmas shopping yet. You aren't wrong, and that's why I highlighted your comment.
You aren't wrong?
You are wrong. I shop throughout the entire year, and now I'm just finishing up. But
I was going to say, what percentage are you completed?
We're probably 90% there.
Ethan, what about you? How much of your Christmas shopping is completed?
Let's see. You asked this question like a week and a half ago, and I think I said like 80, and I'm still 80. And I would say that probably like 75% of that has been my wife shopping for our families, keyword our families, including mine. And I still haven't gotten her anything and don't know what to get her still because my mom got a hold of her list before I could, and there's pretty much nothing left on it.
I'll help you.
You'll help me?
Yeah, I'll help
okay.
you. What about you, Brad?
That.
How close are you guys to being done?
I would say we're probably about 90-95% of the way there.
How much of this stuff do you guys have wrapped?
All of the stuff that I have bought for my wife, I've got 50% of it wrapped.
Yeah, we're
the
not
stuff
even close.
That you've bought for your wife is not. That is yes. a very small percentage, probably, of what has to be purchased.
My wife is really good at wrapping.
That sounds like a politician's way of saying, we're about 50% done.
We're about 50% done, yeah. No, my wife is, we've got it all bought. We're waiting for some of the stuff to arrive. And then the other thing is to, my wife does all of the wrapping except for her own gifts because she's very, very good at it. And I am very, very bad at it. So it's like endearing to her to have me wrap her presents, but she would rather do the family's presents so they look nice.
So if you haven't bought everything yet, what are we supposed to do?
So here's some great tips for you here 1 week out from Christmas Eve. Some gift ideas, ways to approach it. Number one is give gift cards. Virtually every retailer offers gift cards now, and this is the easiest way to last minute grab something.
Annie, should I get my wife a gift card for Christmas?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep.
Well,
to Panda Express.
Possibly.
That's brilliant.
Possibly. You could get her, if I had a spa I like to go to and a massage I liked to get at that spa or a facial or something, it should be for something very specific that should translate into like an event or a service. Don't get a gift card for a thing.
Now she did mention maybe for like a nail salon or like a massage. She did mention that as a good option.
You can give that to her for Christmas, but you can't like give it to her. She's not going to go to do that right then at Christmas. You can't like drop her off on Christmas Day or whatever. So you can get her a gift certificate for that. But what you do is you get her a bottle of her favorite lotion and put the gift card on it. You give her something that maybe costs $5-$10 that she likes, some perfume, something like an eye mask or something like that. And then you put the gift card on it. So there is a thing that goes along with a particular service, which in my opinion is the only right time to give a gift card.
Annie, how do you know all this stuff?
I'm a woman.
You put lotion on the gift card, put it in a Ziploc bag.
Also, listen to Ryan. Don't listen to Ryan.
Oh, you like literally like squirt the lotion on the gift card
and put it in a Ziploc bag.
That's authentic.
It's like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
Ooh, what's in here? Another one. Now, gift cards are something that we do for basically every kid's birthday. On the way to the birthday, we stop at Walgreens and get a gift card and a card, and then we go to the birthday party.
Is the card that's used different for the place that you're going?
No.
No, that's no. different.
Now, that would be
that's
a
not
different
sentimental.
Level.
I would think
that
so.
That is box checking
just like,
and
yeah.
approved.
Yeah. Food never fails. The way to anyone's heart is through their stomachs, right? If you're a whiz or a baker, whip up a batch of your special cookies or just find something that you know that person likes to eat.
I think that's better than a gift card.
I do too. I think food is an underrated gift at Christmas.
We make jelly. You guys probably had Jared's jelly.
I'm gonna say
no. I think I have.
And
I think I've
with the expectation
you.
That we would probably try it.
I have given it to you before.
I'm a PB&J connoisseur, so I am always welcoming.
We don't
jellies.
Make grape, but there's peach and strawberry.
Oh yeah. I'll bring them all.
You probably have had it then, now that you say that. Was it labeled Jared's Jelly?
No.
Because it might have just gotten put in the fridge and then used, and we didn't realize we were eating Jared's Jelly.
No, it's in a clear mason jar.
We probably have.
I'm thinking side business. Jared's Jelly just sounds way too good for it to not be used for something.
Kind of
sounds
weird.
You could have a whole store. You could replace an old Target.
On the bottom we'll put, I don't think you're ready for this jelly.
On the bottom of the store.
Okay. That's where we'll start.
So you guys make your own, but I think even finding good gifts that are food, that's one of the things I love getting. How about get creative? Do you have a special talent, such as painting, pottery making, or photography? Can you offer, Brad, something like car repair, child services, or dog walking?
What kind of car repair do you offer someone for Christmas? Like,
I don't know, but
hey, your next oil change is on me.
That'd be pretty awesome, though. I'd take that as a gift any day. Creative gifts. Is this something that you ever try?
Yes. Yeah, coupons and whatnot. Here's a, like,
free
for
hugs.
Example,
free hugs. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah. play your cards right. Might turn into a back massage. No,
it's things weird in here.
Yeah, things like.
Is this gonna get hot in here? What happened?
No, it's been. I'm sweating.
I am too.
It's miserable.
But I got real hot after that back rub comment, though.
Well, that's from the last.
In
time.
What way?
That's... Yeah, you know.
Bothered, hot and bothered.
I don't think Brad was done making his point.
I don't either. I want to hear.
Yeah,
the
I'm
rest.
Done. I'm finished.
Are you?
Yeah. There's nothing I can add.
You broke
to that.
Him.
I'm sorry.
No, people don't care.
I will say that this is another
for
thing.
For Christmas, Ryan, I'm giving you coupons for free back rubs from Brad.
I don't know no. if you can do that.
Yeah, well, I can.
I don't.
I'm gonna leave the rest to you two.
I don't really like.
Guess what? You could perfect just in time for your 7-year anniversary now coming up.
That's exactly right.
Well,
this man knows his stuff.
I don't want a back rub from Brad.
What do you want from Brad?
An oil change. That's why I brought this up.
Is that metaphorical?
I was going to say, that's not a euphemism, is it?
No, it is definitely not. I just wanted to come over and clean my pipes out and go home. And don't read into that stuff.
Next.
Shop on Christmas Eve. We know waiting until the day before Christmas to shop sounds like a terrible idea, but think of it this way. Most people are done by Christmas Eve. I've never actually tried to go to a mall on Christmas Eve, but whenever I've driven by them, they seem to be still very busy, so it seems counterintuitive to me. Have you ever tried to shop, like really shop on Christmas Eve?
I'm sure that I've shopped on Christmas Eve, but I don't really condone the idea of like, oh, I'm just going to wait until Christmas Eve. You go on Christmas Eve to fill in whatever gaps are still remaining,
totally.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But don't be like, oh, I haven't done anything yet. I'm waiting till Christmas Eve when all the people aren't there. There's
I
a
know.
Bunch of other goofuses like you on Christmas Eve
the exact
shopping
same
in
way.
A panic to try to figure out what's going on.
If you're going to wait until, we're a week out now. If you're going to wait until this time, one thing it says is to make sure that you have a list because you have very little time and you need to make it efficient.
That's scary because when everything closes down, you're SOL.
Game over.
Yes, like toast. You're grabbing things out of the impulse items like here's some gum and Tic Tacs for the poor people at the bottom of the list.
The dollar
didn't get
area
for.
At Target.
Yeah.
And exactly. This is where the gift card comes in. Last one. Mm-hmm. Re-gift.
I'm not opposed to regifting in certain circumstances.
Find stuff that you're not going to use. Here's the trick, though. Don't regift stuff that's been sitting around long enough that it looks old. Because we have some things in boxes that sometimes we'll go, oh, we could probably give that away as a birthday gift to somebody that we're not going to use.
That's what you put in the white elephant gift exchange.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Wrapped up in the pile of the gifts in the middle.
Yeah. Have like, you guys ever regifted?
That? Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I ever have.
You know what I re-gift the most?
What?
Gift cards.
Really?
Oh, for sure.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
I don't use them. It's a nice gesture.
You don't use gift cards?
No, I don't have time. It takes too much preparation.
Have you ever upped a gift card?
What does that mean?
For a gift? Where you take, let's say somebody gets you a $15 gift card somewhere. Like, my wife will get these at school. You know, they're not going to buy her a $50 gift card.
Sure.
But they're going to say, hey, Merry Christmas.
It's usually teacher increments of $5.
Yeah. $10, $15 at Target or something like that. So taking that gift card and buying a more expensive gift card with it to give to somebody else. Re-upping the gift card.
Not opposed to it.
I have done that before. And sometimes there's rules that say you can't. And I break them.
How?
I will sometimes like buy something. I haven't done this in years, but I'll buy something and then like immediately return it and use the.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Oh yeah.
Are you like, what are you gonna do about that?
Uh huh.
And then they just...
and they're like, we don't care, sir. Can you please move to the left? Like, yeah.
Like, no, but I'll move to the
right. I totally just played your system. I'm like, all right, thanks, Guy Fawkes.
Russell says, sounds like Annie will be regifting for the show crew. Be prepared, guys.
I'm ready.
So.
I'm ready.
Yours is not a regift.
Bed Bath and
Yours are
gift.
Sitting right over there, buddy.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Those are real presents? I thought those were props. I
definitely thought it was empty cardboard.
I did too. They probably are. And she's totally.
Maybe that's just what your gift is empty cardboard.
She's gaming us.
Maybe
right now.
We're all right. No, just yours. I don't have Ethan and Brad's here.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, Annie.
Maybe she's thinking, you know, empty cardboard. Some children like the box more than the gift. Maybe she's just trying to think ahead for you and she could be more entertained
by the
box.
I'm going to open up and be like, box, yes. There's nothing in the box, but I can make a race car out of this.
On the left, you'll see I've wrapped thoughts and prayers. But it's a big box, so they're really big thoughts and really big prayers.
Oh, good.
Stick around. We've got Jim Carafano and Jeff Thompson, the CEO of Red Cat Holdings, a drone company, coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be right back.